I want to take the first part of that reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 and 7 through 11. Verses 1 and verses 7 through 11. Luke chapter 14, and if you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 1038. Page 1038. Luke chapter 14, and beginning at verse 1. This morning I want to talk about wisdom and humility. Wisdom and humility. Indeed, according to Jesus, wisdom and humility go hand in hand. And based upon the witness of Holy Scripture and the teaching of Jesus, one might say rightly, let the wise are always humble, and the humble are always wise. And interestingly enough, humility works, which is perhaps why it's so closely associated with wisdom, because it works. Indeed, it works in relating with other people, and it works when relating to God. And as Jesus seems to be saying in our text, and as a general principle, it is better to be intentionally humble than to be unintentionally humiliated. And this is true now in this age and in this world, and it will be true in the world to come. And so I'd like us to think together this morning about wisdom and humility. And the first thing that I want us to think about is wisdom and humility when relating to others. Indeed, notice again our text, Luke chapter 14 and beginning at verse 1. And Luke says, and one Sabbath day when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And notice verse 7. And then he told them a parable to those who were invited, because he noticed how that they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person. And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher, and then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. And so Luke says that on one particular Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, he says they, presumably the ruler of the Pharisees and others that had been invited by him, were watching Jesus carefully. Indeed, someone has described this situation as an act of hospitality with malicious intent, which is another way of saying that they were after him and setting him up. And so Jesus had been invited to come share a meal with at the house of this ruler of the Pharisees, but they were watching him, no doubt to catch him in some particular fault, contrary to what they would think was contrary to the law of Moses and the traditions of the rabbis, and maybe achieve grounds for accusing him in some way. But interestingly enough, Jesus is also watching them. As Luke says in verse 7, and Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed, because he was watching them, how they chose the places of honor as they were being seated. A place of honor at such a table in the ancient Near East and in the first century, seats situated close to the host, and which in this case would have probably been was indeed the ruler of the Pharisees. And so Luke says in verse 7, and Jesus told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place or whatever place is left. And why shame? Well, because you and your pride assumed yourself to be greater and perhaps more important than you really are, or at least more important than others perceive you to be, resulting in you being publicly disgraced and humiliated. And so Jesus says, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited. And he continues in verse 9, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person, and then you'll begin with shame to take the lowest place. And so Jesus says, don't do that. Rather, he says in verse 10, but when you're invited, go sit in the lowest place. And by the way, if you're truly humble, the lowest place will be for you just as comfortable a spot as the highest place. Probably won't think much about it at all. And so Jesus says, and when you're invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move higher. And then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. Ken Blanchard, in his book, Leadership Smarts, wrote this. He said, people who are humble don't think less of themselves. People who are humble don't think less of themselves. Indeed, humility is not an inferiority complex. People who are humble don't think less of themselves, Blanchard says. They just think of themselves less. Or Tim Keller's great definition of humility. He defined humility as, quote, blessed self-forgetfulness. Blessed self-forgetfulness. Indeed, that's genuine humility. I like what Swindoll said. He said, we take ourselves too seriously and God not seriously enough. That's just the case. But genuine humility, in fact, a book I just read this last year by Jordan Peterson, The 12 Rules of Life, he said, genuine humility is the true precursor to wisdom. Genuine humility is the true precursor to wisdom. That's because humility and wisdom go hand in hand. And indeed, Jesus is not only saying being humble, he's saying be wise. And so that's the first thing, wisdom and humility when relating to others. And then notice secondly and finally, wisdom and humility when relating to God. Indeed, notice verse 11. Jesus says you should do all of these things because of this particular principle. Verse 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Maybe not now. But certainly in the end, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And what Jesus is saying here is more than just a practical principle, generally speaking. Rather, what Jesus is talking about is an immutable divine principle. In fact, ultimately, the one who does the exalting and the humiliating is God. That is to say, this is how things work with God, and this is what God does. God humbles those who exalt themselves, and he exalts those who humble themselves. For this, even as we're in the Gospel of Luke, we have the witness of Mary as an example. And her great Magnificat. Was there anyone more humble than Mary? Well, perhaps Jesus. And Mary sang this song, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Why? For he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations, generation after generation after generation after generation shall call me blessed. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. We've been saying it a long time. Just repeating what the angel Gabriel said. For he that is mighty, in fact, he is the Almighty. For he that is mighty hath magnified me. And holy is his name. He hath shown strength with his arm. He's scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He's pushed down the mighty from their seat and hath exalted the humble and meek. That's why those who exalt themselves shall be humbled, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. And indeed, this is what God does. Psalm 75 and verse 7. It is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. It may not be happening now, and maybe it is happening now, but it certainly will happen. And all cases will be settled. And so we have the witness of Mary and the witness of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, as he was writing to the community that he was pastoring. He said, clothe yourselves with humility. I love that. Just like, wear humility like you'd wear your clothes. You know, people's clothes tell them a lot, tell you a lot about them, how they feel, or maybe what they do. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Notice this, for God opposes the proud. I have read that, and I've said, Lord, I don't need you opposing me. I don't need God opposing me. But he's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And so we have the witness of Mary, we have the witness of Peter, and of course we have the example of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, writing this famous letter to the believers at Philippi in chapter 2 and beginning verse 5, he said to the believers there in Philippi, have this mind, this same mind, this same attitude within yourselves, within your own hearts and within your own mind, which is yours in Christ Jesus, because you're followers of him. Think his thoughts. Do his deeds. Christ, though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He just let that go. He never said to anybody, don't you know who I am? Have you ever said that to anybody? You heard the story about the guy who was at the airport and got bumped and something. He was having trouble and so thought he was going to miss his flight, and he was an important man in his company, and so he broke the line there because everybody was concerned about getting on this plane and getting where they needed to go, and so he broke in the line and went right up to the clerk there said, listen, I need to get on this plane. And she said, you're going to have to get in line with the rest. And he said, don't you know who I am? And she got on and she said, in the whole airport, she said, excuse me, we have a man who doesn't know who he is. And if you'd please come to the front desk and we see if we get this. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself. That's step one, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, and therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. I wonder, is there a more known name all the world over? They even celebrate Christmas in Japan. And I remember that one reporter was there and was asking people on the streets, you know, around Christmas time, and was asking them, do you understand what Christmas means? And one of the citizens there of Tokyo said, well, isn't that when he died? Well, they don't even know it, but they know the name Jesus. And therefore, God highly exalted him and has bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Someone has written this about this passage. Quote, Jesus never set out to make a name for himself. That's what they did at the Tower of Babel, remember? Let's build us a tower and make a name for ourselves so people will know how great we are. Do you remember any of their names? Neither do I. Jesus never set out to make a name for himself, but he was given a name that's above every name, because in obedience to God and in self-sacrificing service to others, he made himself of no reputation. And so he was given a name that nobody can take away, not because he made it for himself, but because he was given it by God. Interestingly enough, some people, even the church, spend a lot of time worrying about whether or not they're being properly recognized by others, and take great offense whenever it seems to them that they're not. Well, all the while, the humble busy themselves with other matters. Happy to be a single tree in the story about a forest. And enjoying the blessedness of self-forgetfulness. That's why the proud are often angry, and the humble, for the most part, live in peace. Remembering on those rare occasions when it happens to come to mind that God has got their back and he will exalt them in due time. And so I wonder, what kind of life are you living? And where is your life taking you? For it was Jesus who said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen? Amen. Wisdom and humility, they go hand in hand. Let us pray. I'm not exactly sure, Lord. Maybe the issue is control. That we hesitate to jump in at the deep end of these things, to surrender ourselves to these things that you tell us to do, but we're afraid because, oh Lord, well, if I do what you say, I might lose this or lose that, or somebody might do this or somebody might do that. And yet back of the command is the promise that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. And so help us, Lord, not just to know these things in our mind, but to see them as beautiful and to embrace them and make them our own, not only because we will benefit in ways that we could never have imagined, and know joy unspeakable and full of glory, and know the peace that passes all understanding, which are the gifts you give to those who give their whole heart, not half a heart, their whole heart to you. Give us grace, Lord, to embrace these things, that we might be benefited and blessed by them, but also in embracing them become a blessing to others in new and fresh ways, and that in our lives, Lord, you might be truly glorified because others will be able to look at us and see you. And this we pray in Jesus' name.